I'm in deep trouble tonight just because, once again, I'm just sitting here listening to the song service, and the Lord says, this is what I want you to preach. And Lord, I'm not prepared to preach that tonight, but I'll preach something else. The Lord said, you're going to preach this tonight. So if you have your Bibles, last night of revival, real time of testing for me, the book of Luke chapter 7 is what I believe the Lord would direct our paths to. Luke chapter 7. Somebody pray for me. You may say, Preacher Darren, I've already prayed for you. Pray again. This is what got me in trouble. Your prayer, pray again. Amen. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I'll ask you if you will please stand to your feet tonight. We study God's word this evening. We appreciate the opportunity God's given us to be at Fletcher. It's been a privilege, a joy for us to be here. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night already, if that's what the Lord sees fit to leave us here and let us have the opportunity to preach tomorrow night. We can't wait to see what God's going to do. But there is tonight, and I believe that God has something that he's wanting to do tonight, for there is no way that he's changed me from what I thought I was going to do. I've listened to this choir sing. I listened to Brother Smith sing. I'm just telling you, God has just changed my heart. Luke chapter 7, verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. Amen. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. I feel like the Lord wants us to think on this thought tonight. Turning heartbreak into hallelujah. May I say tonight that Jesus loves you. He cares for your soul. He understands your dilemma. He is focused on your situation. And you're in a place tonight, many of you, that you feel is impossible. You feel like something is holding you. You feel like something is leveraged against you. You feel like the situation that you cannot overcome it. And tonight the Lord wants to help you overcome your heartbreak and turn it into a hallelujah time. Thank God for it. When we read in this text, when we read in this text, we know that Jesus has walked right into a funeral procession. He broke up every good funeral that ever, ever went to. Amen. And tonight you're looking at your situation as death. There's no life to it. It's impossible to change. There's no getting out of it. It's just dead. You've turned the page. You've dug the grave. You've called the funeral director, and this is over for you. And you're ready to do something different. And yet God comes marching down your path of misery, that he might turn your path of misery into a place of praise. God has something he wants you to accomplish in this place. Let's see what it is. Father, thank you tonight for your word. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to preach the truths and the precepts and the promises of the Lord God Almighty. Father, tonight, you know our heart. You know our need. You know the situation. I'm asking God tonight that you would deliver us. Help us. Speak to hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. When I look at this text, number one, I see unexpected calamity. Here is a lady. The Bible says she is a widow lady. We may look and say she's got heartbreak in the past. Do you see it? A widow, that means her husband has died. She has been to the cemetery before. She's going there to bury now her son. So she's a woman who's experienced heartbreak in the past. And how you tonight are affiliated with grief, misery, woe, and heartbreak. And then when you get to this hard present situation that you've come to, immediately you look and you see, this has already been so hard in the past, I can't go on in the present. This has been so difficult before, there's no way I see God working in this now. Through what I've gone through before, I don't see any good in it. None whatsoever. And I can't go on. It's been heartbreak in the past, and you have a very hard present situation. And this woman has her only, Bible said it's her only son. Jesus called him a young man. Now, I don't know how old he was, but he's a young man. This is another trip to the cemetery for her. And may I say for a widow, her husband is dead, the children would be the ones responsible to take care of her. And now her only son is dead. She has no Medicare. She has no benevolent society. She has no one to take care of her. Her future is hopeless. A woman with heartbreak. A woman that has hard circumstances. And here's a woman that is hopeless about her future. It is an unexpected calamity. What has happened to you you didn't plan on? And this thing is pulling you down. It's weighing you down. And the Lord tonight wants you to get out of this situation that he might give you praise, that he might give the ability to walk around and love on fellow Christians and be a testimony of the power of the love of Almighty God. In this situation, number two, we have an unannounced companion. Now here this woman is. She's following this casket and they're headed out of town to the cemetery. And the Bible says in verse number 11 that Jesus has come into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples have went with him and much people. Now we know that the Lord has called to the centurion's house. And as he's traveling, the centurion looked out his window and he went, oh no, 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 no. Servants, servants, come, come, come. Go out there and tell Jesus, I sent for him to heal my servant, but I'm not worthy for him to come under my roof. Run out there and tell him, say, just speak the word only, and I know my servant will be made whole. And I want you to know other servants jumped up and ran out there and met Jesus and said, the centurion, he's not worthy for you to come under his roof. And Jesus said, I've not found so great a faith, no, not in all Israel, but according to his faith, so be it unto him. And that centurion was made whole from that very hour. And when they got back and saw, or the servant was made whole from that very hour, when they saw it, people started shouting, praising God. Hallelujah! Glory! Praise his holy name! And the word got back to the crowd that was with Jesus, and many people started surrounding him, and they started praising him, and Jesus is walking. The entire time he's walking, he's headed towards a place called Nain. The word Nain means beautiful. But that day, it's anything but beautiful. Death has invaded one more time. Death has laid its icy grip upon a young man and has taken his life away. But praise God, here comes Jesus. And all those that are with him, they are shouting and praising his holy name. Hallelujah. Hey, I might just say tonight, when does Jesus come? What time will Jesus be here? Does he come here at 7? Does he get here at 8? Does he stay late? When does Jesus come? Honey, I'll tell you, mark it down. Jesus comes in the time of death. When death comes, you'll find Jesus coming around presently. Amen. This woman is experiencing death. Here comes Jesus. Let me tell you tonight, you may say, Preacher Darren, my loved ones are all still alive, but you've got a situation that's become death-like. And the Lord is coming into your time of death. When does Jesus come? He comes in a time of desperation. when you've gotten to the end of your rope, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel victimized, when you feel assaulted, or when the whole world is turned against you and you have nowhere else to turn, it's all you can do to breathe. It's all you can do to hold your head up. In fact, your head's hung low and he's trying to lift your head up. I'm telling you, it comes in the time of desperation. And in this woman's time of death, in this woman's time of desperation, here comes an unannounced companion. Now, you remember Lazarus, how the Lord raised Lazarus? The Bible said that Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent for Jesus when Lazarus was sick, right? And the Lord came 4 days late, but he's still on time and raised Lazarus back to life. But the sisters sent for him. This centurion, he sent for Jesus, and Jesus headed his way, and he spoke the word. But I do not read that this widow woman sent for Jesus. She didn't ask him to come. She wasn't really even sick in his face. She was so lowly, it was all she could do just to get another breath. It's all she could do. And the entire time, Jesus is headed her direction. Jesus will take a time of death. Jesus will take a time of desperation and he'll turn it into a time of deliverance. When Jesus walks upon that scene, the Bible says he saw this city, he saw this situation, and many people were with her. We have two separate groups. We have a group of people with this woman who's going to the graveyard, and we have a group of people who's with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, headed into the city. And I want to just say this. Here's a head-on collision between death and life. And when death and life collide, life is the winner. In fact, here we're going to see some sufferers. Think about it. Here's a suffering woman. She's broken. And Jesus is the suffering Savior who's come to give his life a ransom for our sins. They're going to meet head on, amen? And Jesus, the suffering Savior, is going to take her suffering away and give her victory and turn her heartbreak into hallelujah. These two groups, one group is headed to the cemetery. The other group is headed into the city. Called beautiful. Hey man, thank God I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. I went to the church on July 13th, 1978. I was on my way to hell. I was dead in trespasses and in sins. And guess who showed up in my time of death? Guess who showed up in my family's time of desperation? There came Jesus to deliver me and give me life. And when death run into life, life won, and he saved my soul. Thanks be unto God. When suffering ran into the suffering Savior, Jesus won out. Thank God for it. Hey, do you think about it? There's two sons that met. Here is a young man, the son of a widow woman who's dead. And here is the Son of God, who's very much alive, amen. And we have the little S and the capital S meet together, and Jesus gets the victory. And now through Jesus, the two will become one. They have life. Thank God for it. In fact, I'm thinking about two enemies. We mentioned death and life. Let me just say they're enemies, mortal enemies, and life will always defeat death. Jesus comes that he might give you and I deliverance. And I want to say to you tonight, here you are. You've got something that's holding you down, something that's hindering. There's misery, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's suffering. There are unanswered prayer requests. There are unfulfilled needs. There are things that are unsatisfied in your life. And I'm telling you tonight, the Lord Jesus came that he might give you a time of deliverance. He came to ransom you from your sins. He came to rescue your situation, amen. He came to redeem your sin-cursed soul. Amen. He was unannounced, but there he is. And the Bible said when he saw her, he had compassion on her. He loved her. He saw her need. He saw her faults. He saw beyond her faults and saw her needs. And he says to her, "Weep not." Now, Jesus is not being insensitive. You know, one time I remember many years ago, my wife and I lost a baby in the womb. We were broken. We were destroyed, man. And it was all we could do for me to go preach and for her to come to the service. But she came to the service and had someone there, saw her sitting in the back crying, just so insensitive, and said, "Get over it. You're young. You can always try again. Get over it. You've already had one child. Surely that if you don't ever have another one, that'd be enough." Church people can be the coldest people. And it's why a lot of people will never attend the house of God, because where there ought to be love, there's judgment, condemnation, and there's people who's always wanting to give you help, give help to a drowning man by giving them another glass of water. You be careful what you call encouragement, that it is real, bona fide, genuine encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ. At church, there was no mercy. It was get over it. We want to see the pastor's wife walking around here smiling. We want to see the pastor's wife up there singing. We don't want to see her tears. We don't want to see her situation. Jesus, it's not being insensitive to her needs when he tells her, "Weep not." Jesus, listen, he loves you so much that when you have tears of agony and tears of desperation and tears of pain, that he bottles your tears and he keeps them as trophies of the suffering and of the love that he has for you. He bottles those tears. He's thankful for your tears. And he gives this woman a command. He didn't say weep not because he was insensitive. He didn't say weep not as an idea or as a suggestion. He gave her an imperative. He said, "Weep not. Calm down. This situation is about to change. Weep not." Hallelujah for that. The Bible says he came and he touched the buyer. So there they are carrying the casket. It's an open casket with sideboards on it. And he walks up to it and he touches it. And all those people that knew that was a dead situation, that were carrying that casket through that town, they completely stopped and thought, "What's he gonna do? Maybe he wanted to come to the visitation. He should have got here earlier. What's he gonna do? It's too late to do anything now." And the Bible, look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "They that bear him stood still." That's about where you are right now in your situation. You're carrying the casket. You've become a glorified pallbearer about the situation that you're in right now. You're carrying the casket, and the Lord has come down the fletcher this week and says, "Hey, I can do something about that problem. I can do something about that need. Will you turn it over to me?" And you sit there and think, "I will, but it's too late. I will, but nothing's going to happen. You don't understand, Lord, my heart is broken. I'm weeping." Weep not. Don't be insensitive, Lord. It's my only son. I've already lost my husband. Lord, I don't have anything left to give. You took everything I have. What am I left to do? And my Bible says that Jesus, with his precious word, thank God, he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And to everyone's amazement, this unannounced companion, when he speaks, the young man, the Bible says, he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Two signs of life. When you get saved, you'll get up. And when you get saved, you'll witness, testify, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I get down into what it says in verse 15. I love this. And he delivered him. Boy, that's what he did for me. He delivered me. He ransomed me. He rescued me. Amen. He delivered him to his mother. You know what he does? He removes tears. He reunites families. He brings us all together, though we may have death coming to our home here and our loved ones in glory. Honey, that may seem so far away, but He sees us all there together with Him, reunited in love, reunited in celebration. May I say then, thirdly, we see in this text an unforeseen celebration. Unforeseen celebration. Oh, yeah. When she's on her way to the funeral with her unexpected calamity and she meets an unannounced companion, it's going to turn into an unforeseen celebration. Look what the Bible says. There came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up amongst us, and that God hath visited His people. When they saw, glory to God, when they saw, here they were, their situation was dead, the grave was already dug, the pallbearers were standing there, the mortician had done what he thought he could do. I want you to know the folks at the funeral home were standing there waiting on them to arrive, and they look at the gate of that city, and death and life have a head-on collision, and life wins out. Glory to God, the funeral home lost some business, amen. That boy set up and started praising God and jumped out of that casket and went and hugged his mother. And don't you know they said, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He took my heartbreak and turned it into hallelujah. Honey, has He done that for you? Was there somebody you was burdened about? Somebody you was praying for? You saw them walk up the old-fashioned aisle way, call on the Lord in the altar, and them stand and say, Jesus has just saved my soul. I'll just talk about when I was in this area many years ago, and I'll be done. I was pastoring Zion Hill, and we were receiving lost coins in our church, representing lost people, praying about lost people getting saved. And I could preach on that all night long. I found a penny at my house, or a nickel at my house one time that wasn't there, and the next night Luke got saved. So he was lost in my house. And the boy got saved the next night in revival meeting. I'm pastoring the church, and I get a phone call. And the person said, Pastor Aaron, I noticed that the church, it looks like to me that it needs to be pressure washed in the back. It's got a lot of nastiness, a lot of staining on the back of the church. And I said, now who are you? He told me his name. And I said, well, I'll tell you. I said, if you'll come on down, we'll be glad to meet with you and talk about it. And we'll pay you to do so. He said, no charge. God spoke to my heart and wants me to pressure wash the back of the church. And I'm going to do it for free. And I said, well, hallelujah, you're hired. I mean, he's the free, that's a good word. And God sent him, he said, that's a good word. So he pressure washed the back of the building. And about 3 or 4 days later, I hadn't even looked, he called me, he said, Preacher Darren pressure washes that building. Some of the paint has flaked off. It was old and decayed and was given up and lost a lot of its properties, and now it needs to be repainted on the back side of the building. He said, so if you'll let me, I'll go get some paint and I'll paint the back of the building. I said, well, okay. I said, we'll paint. No, I'm going to do it for free. The Lord told me to do this for you for free. I went, well, hallelujah, you're hired. I mean, free, and you're going to paint the back of the building. He painted it. He did such a great job. Then he came to me and he said, Preacher Darren, I've noticed that behind the building, there's a bunch of those riprap rocks, and there's weeds growing up in it, and there's grass every which way. And if it's all right, I want to get in there and weed eat and spray some Roundup. And I said, well, man, I know it needs bad back there. I've run laps around the back of the church, and it's a mud hole, and it's nasty back there. And he said, I'll do it for free. I went, hallelujah, you're hired. And I said, listen, you're doing all this work. I don't think I've ever met you. I'd never met him, though I'd been praying for him. He said, my wife comes to the church. And I said, well, why don't you come with her? He said, well, you know what? I think I just might do that. And on Sunday morning, he came to church. And I preached that morning. And he made his way down the aisle. And I met him over here. And I said, can I pray with you? He said, please. I said, what's the need? He said, I don't know. He said, you know, something's been bothering me. And I thought, well, I'll go to the church and I'll work. And if I go down there, I'll feel better about how I'm living, I guess.
So I thought I'd come down here and I thought that I'd pressure wash the church. I didn't. It felt worse. So I thought, well, I'll paint the church. And it's even worse. And then he said, I think I'll weed eat around it, clean up the yard. And he said, man, I just don't get it. I mean, my heart is beating out of my chest. He said, my heart's about, I'm just, I said, you reckon you need to be saved? He said, that's what it is. Darren, I need to be saved. I said, you believe you're a sinner? Yeah. Dead in trespassing sins? Yes. And he got gloriously saved that day. He stood up. I put my arm around him. I said, our brother has something to say, church. He said, I just want to say, the Lord has just saved my soul. Well, I took off running the lap. I mean, shoom, I was running around the building. When I got back down the front, here came his wife. She's sitting back towards the back. She took one of her shoes off. She had taped a penny in the right shoe. She said, every time I wear a different pair of shoes, I change that penny in that new shoe. You know how many times a woman changes shoes? And here she come. She was waving that penny up in the air with her one shoe on and one shoe off. And she was glorifying God. And she got down here and she said, my heart has been so broken over my husband and over my family. And the devil has told me that would never, ever happen. And she said, here I have been moping around, ready to give up, but just holding on to hope that just maybe somehow God would get a hold of him. And honey, when he did not expect it, the unannounced guest heard her prayer request and came walking into that family and saved that daddy, saved her husband, saved both her kids, amen. I'm telling you, honey, there ain't nothing our God can't do. He can take your heartbreak and turn it into hallelujah. He can take your misery and turn it into mastery. He can take your pouting and turn it into shouting and praise. You just need to give it to him, amen. Preacher Darren, I don't even know what to give him. What about this woman? Do you see where she prayed? Do you see where she presented her? She didn't even know exactly what to do. But here he came. And I'm telling you, not Honey Fletcher, First Baptist Church, he's been walking up and down the corridors of my soul. He's been walking through this church where two or three are gathered in his name. And he says, I'm interested in you praising me again. I'm interested in you shouting again. I'm interested in you glorifying my name. So I'm going to take that which is dead, that which is broken, that which don't work, that which is weak, that which is weary, and I'm going to give you a fresh breath, and I'm going to give you a revival, and I'm going to encourage you and going to turn your heartbreak to hallelujah. And I'm just going to say, I believe him. I believe, listen, I believe not only is God calling me to do something, he's calling you. He's calling you to leave the doldrums of your heartbreak and get into the very blessed areas, the celestial areas of praise. Oh, Lord, I can't turn it loose. There's a man. He's trying to fly around the world. And he's refueling ever so many hours. Refueling again. And as he's flying, this is what he hears. He's about halfway to his next refueling. He says, you know what's happened? A mouse has got on board my plane and it's chewing something. What in the world is it chewing? It could be chewing the landing gear cables. Let's hope not. It could be chewing the fuel line. Let's hope not. What on earth am I going to do? And son, he remembered his science class that rats, well, mice, you may say that way in Henderson County still, mice have very small brains. And they can't handle the atmospheric pressure. So he took the joystick and he pulled back on it and he climbed just a little higher. And when he did, this is what he heard. It slowed down, but it had not stopped. So he pulled back on the joystick a little further. And when he climbed to that higher level, this is what he heard. Nothing. It killed it. He landed where he was supposed to refuel. And he went up underneath that plane back towards the fuselage and picked up a dead rat by the tail. Sure enough, it was trying to eat on the fuel lines. And had it eaten through, he would have surely died and crashed. Now, I say that to tell you this. You've got heartbreak. And you may say, Preacher Darren, you're telling me to turn it into hallelujah, but I can't turn it. Honey, I didn't never tell you to turn it into hallelujah. I'm telling you, he can turn this into hallelujah. And you right now are focused. You are worried. I'm talking to a mother. You are worried. You're worried about home. You're worried about children. You're worried about the world in which we live. You daddies, you're worried. You got fear. You got worries. And here you are. You're trying to fly with Jesus. And you got worries. And your worries, here they are. And your worries are eating away at your victory. And they're eating away at your praise. And they're eating away at your prayer life. So I'm going to tell you to do this. Pull back on the joystick. Did y'all get that? Woo! And go a little higher. And your worries will slow down. But if that don't stop them, go just a step higher on your joystick. Woo! Glory! And I'm just telling you, when you climb into the atmospheric praise celestially to get as high as you can get, to praise Him and to glorify Him and to humble yourself, and you don't care who thinks what about you, just let go and let God. The Lord will soon turn your heartbreak into hallelujah. You have got to kill the worry, and you do so by praising Him. You do so by glorifying His name. There are times that, listen, we had 24 hours of prayer at our church. I had prayed about 6 hours the night before. I came in, slept for a few hours, came back the next morning, and God said, I want you to praise me. Brother Remington Austin was there. He had spent a lot of the night there. He said, Preacher, I'm going to stay with you one more hour. I said, God said, let's praise Him. I said, so if you don't care, son, let's just, me and you, just start praising God. And this is what we started reading in the Psalms. I got to get my Bible. Started reading in the Psalms, flipping through different Psalms. We started reading them out loud. And the next thing I knew, as I started reading through my Bible, the Psalms, man, praise come to my lips, and I started having myself a time, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. What about this? I just turned to it. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Amen. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Hallelujah. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is our refuge for us. Selah, power belongeth unto God. And the next thing I knew, the Holy Ghost came down, and 7 hours later, I was laid up underneath a pew in the middle of the church before I even realized where I was. God had turned my heartbreak in the hallelujah. You stand to your feet. I could do this all night, honest. You stand to your feet. Somebody come to the piano. Now I'm sitting on the front row, and I've listened to this choir sing, and I listen to the Holy Spirit leading me, and I don't know what the heartbreak, the worry, the issue is, but God said to me, He's interested, and turned that into hallelujah. And you can sit here tonight on your hands and say, well, okay, I don't really know if I really want to start praising. I'm already praising Him. May it be noted tonight that while I was preaching, nobody shouted me down. Nobody stopped the song service to run and shout and glorify His name. The Lord has work to do in your heart and in your life to give you the revival, the refreshing, the touch, the anointing that Jesus only can give you. And I'm asking you, are you willing to say, Lord, would you pass by my casket bearing? And Lord, would you help me? Lord, speak to me, Lord. I'm not interested in dead religion anymore. Lord, I need something that's alive. God, would you turn my heartbreak into hallelujah? Would you come? God, would you send revival to Fletcher? Lord, we have a youth meeting tomorrow night, God. Would you do a work there? Please, Fletcher, I'm begging you. Would you get on your knees and say, God, fill this house with your power, with your glory. There may be souls hanging in the balance. Lord, would you touch them? God, would you help us to have revival? Our homes, our marriages, our churches, our nation needs revival. Would you join me in prayer? Father, tonight we bow to praise your holy name. What a God, what a Savior. Lord, we thank you tonight, God, that you are God and there is none other. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your majesty. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your sweet forgiveness. I thank you for salvation. And Lord, I thank you tonight, God, that you allowed me to be a child of God. Not only was I born, Father, but you also adopted me. And now, Lord, I'm going to get in also because of marriage, Lord, because one day I'll be the bride of Christ as the church. Lord, I have so much to thank you and to praise you for, promise after promise after promise. And Lord, in my life, there's heartbreak. Lord, there are issues, there are burdens, there are worries, there are needs tonight, Father. And Lord, you and you only have the ability. Lord, where else would I go? Where else would I turn? Lord, it's only with you, God, that can turn my heartbreak into hallelujah. God, only you can take my tears and turn them into triumph. God, I pray tonight, Father, that you'd be interested, Lord, in walking by unannounced in my life and lay your hand upon these situations that I think are dead, that I think are over, that I think are hopeless. And God, you speak to them, and God, you touch them, and you by your word, and you give power, you give life, you give regeneration, you give revival, you give renewal, you give refreshment. Tonight, God, I'm praying for a home. I'm praying for a marriage. I'm praying for a family. I'm praying for children, God. Lord, you know the need tonight, Father. Lord, I pray for our schools. God, I pray for our nation. Lord, I pray for our state. I pray for our leadership. God, I pray for this church, God. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you're calling them forward, God, to get involved in souls being saved, in being a soul-saving station, God, of redemption, of salvation. God, I pray you do this work tonight. God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we admit to you how many times we've went through services. And God, oftentimes, Lord, we would say, well, a service is good, but maybe, Lord, it's been kind or dead. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd speak life. You'd be life. God, you'd give us victory over death, victory over discouragement, victory over disappointments. Help us, God, as saints of God, not to sit here soaking sour. Help us, God, I pray, to live by faith and receive victory. And God, I pray for this church, God, that you would take their heartbreaks, turn them into hallelujahs. And God, I pray, Father, for the youth of our communities in Western North Carolina, that God, you'd save souls. God, you'd help these young people that praise God, that look to you, that turn to you. God, you'd be the authority in their life. Help them, God, I pray. Lord, tomorrow night, that someone's eternity teeter totters on the moment. God, help us to be in a place, Lord, that we're hearing from you, that we're heeding you, and that, God, we're obedient to your voice. Lord, we look to you, we depend upon you, and we trust you tonight, God. Please, Lord, we confess to you our worry. We confess to you, Father, that we need to pull back on the joystick ourselves, and we need to praise you more, Father. Lord, for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love you. Percy was sent to a big uppity church to preach revival. His highbrow, you know what I mean. And when he got there, he sat on the front row. God said, I want you to shout. I want you to shout right now. He said, Lord, I've never been here before. I don't even know that you have. Lord, the choir's trying to sing. I'll disrupt them. Lord, it's kind of dead around here, and I don't know that there's a whole lot to shout about. He said, there's not a lot to shout about. I saved your soul. I forgave your sins. I'm going to help you preach tonight. And if you don't shout, I'm not going to save another soul. And if you don't shout, you're not going to be able to get there and preach. And if you don't shout, you're disobedient. So I'm telling you, shout now! He took off shouting. And they told how many people it tore them out of the frame. I mean, 20, 30 people got saved after he broke loose shouting. I'll never forget, I'd gone to a church I'd never been there before. Choir was singing. Lord brought that story back to my mind. God said, I want you to shout. I want you to run. I want you to take a lap just because I said so. And I'm telling y'all, I kind of said, Lord, I don't want to do that tonight. Lord, I'm going to disrupt their choir. And Lord, these people don't even... God said, you take off. So all of a sudden, I just kind of got my Bible, and I stood up. I kind of make tracks like this, just kind of walking. God said, I didn't tell you to walk. I told you to run. And I walked about the corner there, and man, I made the turn. God said, now you take another one, full lap running, like I told you to do. And honey, I'm going to tell you something. God got in that meeting and saved a pile. You just do what, if God tells you, just glory to God. Hallelujah! Yeah, bless his holy name. Thank you, Jesus. What a Savior. He's forgiven our sins. He saved our souls. He saved our family. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing's impossible to him. He's able. I give him glory. I give him praise. I give him glory. Shout now, shout now, shout now. He's going to turn your heartbreak into hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. God is good, amen. Hallelujah. Yes, he's good. Praise him. Come on, somebody wave at him. Woo! If there was a baby here, And at the end of the service, that baby said, you know what I'd do? I'd pucker up and I'd kiss one back. And tonight God has said, Fletcher First Baptist Church, I love you. So pucker up. I'm talking to you. Come on, pucker up. Look towards heaven. The Bible says kiss the Son. Hey, man. In a few minutes when I go home, my boy will verify when I walk in the door, the first person that I see will be my dog. She meets me at the door and she immediately starts licking my hands. And to see who I've been around and where I've been and her licking me is her form of worshiping the Master. Honey, tonight, we got to get to worshiping Jesus again. Amen.
Amen. Last night, she set this up here and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, thank you for doing that. It's all about prayer. Desire of your heart. If God puts desire in there and you'll pray, He'll give you desires of your heart. It begins with that desire. And God offers it to us freely. You know, heard a lot of messages in my day. A lot of messages. And it's not because it's daring, but